So when you were transparently telling me, well, Lou, you know, if some of the seats are empty near the front or depending how I shoot it, I'm going to insert people. I said, great, but don't tell me which photos because I don't want to look at them and have bias. But it's good to be transparent, but how clever these tools are. Welcome to Land and Deliver, the podcast where we help you land your message and deliver it with impact.
And in today's episode, we're saying which AI tools should you use? Because if you're not using AI yet and a bit afraid of it, then you shouldn't be, because there are some tools with a little bit of knowledge on how to use them. Literally, it's just learning how to say words. You can save yourself literally hours, can't you?
It's true. And I think wherever you look nowadays, today we're going to talk about the kind of main popular ones, but there are many and there'll be many more that kind of surface on the horizon. But today it's all about, we thought we'd share the benefit of our knowledge of what we've learned using certain tools. So your Microsoft Copilot, Google Gemini, ChatGPT, which I know you love. And more of a kind of visual creative one like Canva and your Photoshop type ones. And the point of doing this is because there are so many out there, we can feel overwhelmed and thinking, well, which one should we use? And in the early days, I kind of skipped across all of them to try and see the differences. And truth be told, I've tried to kind of hone it down now and just keep to a few, especially for data and privacy reasons. Yeah. So today, stay with us as we walk you through some of the ways that we're using these particular tools that's going to help you to use them in your daily pursuits.
It's not like learning a computer nowadays. AI is a very different beast. It's a little bit of a lean in. You've got to understand a little bit of a new skill, but actually the learning curve, once you understand that it's just really about talking to it in a normal everyday language, your wins are massive. But the quality is there and can actually in some senses be better than what you could do, and so what you then got is time, right? it's the best of all those things, and then the temptation is to go not to go. Oh, I can do more, but actually to go off and go for a walk. But that's the win here. It's a little bit of a lean in, a little bit of a learning curve, but the benefits are huge.
And I think if we put ourselves in your position, dear listener and viewer, if this is the first time you're kind of starting to think about using AI tools, when you do log on and you see something like ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot for the first time, you've heard all this stuff about AI and how wonderful it is, but the interface is quite plain. There's not a lot. And I think it's designed to be intuitively easy for you to lean in, like you say, and use it for the first time. But really, all of these tools have one thing in common, and they have an empty box that it wants you to fill with a prompt. It wants you to tell it what it needs to do. And it's the quality of your prompt that's going to help it to then divulge the information that you need from it. But all of the tools that we're talking about today are largely the same in that respect. When you open it for the first time, you are met with an empty box. Now, if you see what these tools can actually do for you, you will be forgiven for thinking, how am I going to get from that empty box to all of the good things it can give me? How do I go about that?
The thing you need is the English language.
Hey.
That's it, isn't it? That open. You know, it's not thinking about, when you look at Claude or ChatGPT, it's not about in the old days when
coding.
You see it, coding. It's not that at all.
No.
It's literally having a conversation.
Yes.
Or even checking its knowledge. Can you, I sometimes say to ChatGPT, can you do this?
Yes.
So for example, one of my early conversations were, ChatGPT, can you read my emails and then summarize for them? And it'll go, no, I can't do that, but here are some things that you can do. So that's kind of like the Google equivalent, the kind of the very neat thing. But also you've got AI embedded in tools you already have, and taking advantage can save you hours of time.
It's true. And I think if there's one thing you take away from the episode today as a new AI user, hopefully we will convince you, it's to just see AI as a toolkit. It really is a toolkit to help you figure out what you want it to do by giving it some really good prompts. So it's not just one thing, even though you're sat there looking blankly at this empty box that you need to fill it with prompts and instructions and guidance, it is a toolkit that's going to help you to create. And that's the exciting thing about it, I think, as well. No matter what tool you use, that's what it's aiming for. It wants that interaction. It wants that conversation. It wants you to give it the English language instructions, as you say.
And I suppose the only caveat we'd mention is obviously security of your data.
Yep.
So all we say is, because we don't really want to get sued, thank you, is if you're using sensitive data, the thing you need to do is to make sure, because of the AI way AI works and it's learning from itself and it's learning from you, is if you're not sure about how your sensitive data is being used by AI, consult an expert who will say, this is how you need to use this particular thing, and then your data will be safe. Because there are versions of ChatGPT that are what I call leaky, because it's learning from itself. So it will use your information in a generic way to learn patterns and to learn how people speak. But there are also higher paid versions that are much more secure. But an expert will know at any given point, because, you know, from this time of recording, things can change very, very fast. But your expert will know there and then what the best way to use that particular AI plugin or tool that means your sensitive data, if you are using sensitive data or sensitive prompts, will be secure.
Wise advice. Very good. So why are we talking about this now? Can you remember a time before AI, Darren, before we were using these prompts? It seems like they've been around for forever. And in a way, AI technology has had a presence in our lives longer than we probably realise.
I remember a time before AI when I was a wedding photographer, best part of 10 years. And lots of brides would go, can you make me thinner? Can you make me look more beautiful? To which my obviously answer is, no, you're beautiful enough and you don't need, you're just the right shape. Thank you very much. But, and it's not something that photographers will talk about openly because, you know, it's a really important thing. But, you know, there are certain things you might do if someone's sensitive about X, Y or Z and would take you hours to do. Mm. Whereas with AI tools now, which we'll come to later on, you know, you can do exactly the same thing and it takes you seconds, whereas before it would take you half a day.
So a massive time saver as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we also have to allude to an ongoing conversation that's happening in the wider kind of, well, industry of AI around the fears around AI replacing people. Mm. Because like you say, it does work really quickly and, you know, pretty efficiently if you put in a good prompt. It means that people are fearing that AI is going to take over and remove jobs. And what we want to be clear about today is to know that you're using these AI tools and software to enhance, but not to replace.
I think it's almost like your superpower.
Yes.
I think, you know, where companies might employ somebody to do X, Y, or Z, I'm not an AI expert, but my feeling talking to AI experts and just taking samples and talking to companies, I don't think it's going to replace many people. I think where it will help is what I call shoulders of giant stuff. So someone like you or I who are running small businesses, rather than employing a graphic designer, will use AI tools to help us do what we need to do. But then when we want to do a big job, we might go for an AI and a designer to do it more. Or I'll tell you what was really interesting. We spoke to Kim from Nailed AI in a previous episode. And things like, you know, when you want legal advice, rather than, you know, going to someone's sister for a couple of hours about, you know, legal advice. I had a slightly tricky legal position, 6 months ago, and it ended up with my AI talking to the person I was having a dispute with their AI. It was quite obvious that our AIs were chatting. But what I was able to do was to use the tool to understand the legal position really, really, really well. So my conversation with my solicitor is now not 2 hours long, but 30 minutes long, because I've got all the information that I need. All I'm doing is asking clarifying questions and next steps.
Yeah, I think that's really important. It's a tool to help us, not to replace us, I think, the thing to think of it as. And, you know, it's for you to work out what's right for you in terms of your resources, your business, and what you want to use. And we are going to talk about four particular tools in particular: Microsoft Copilot, Google Gemini, ChatGPT, and also your more creative ones like Canva and Photoshop. So this kind of gives you quite an overview if you're new to AI. And do make sure you check out the show notes as well when you go to the website and you download, not only for this episode, but other episodes as well, at landanddeliver.co.uk. So we know that we are entering into this AI world, and we know this is affecting business owners. It's influencing small and medium enterprises, be it your kind of e-commerce website businesses, or even shop. Actual physical shops are starting to step more into the AI space and use it more. So let's talk about the tools, the top tools that we like to use in our day-to-day pursuits. Darren, I know you're a fan of ChatGPT. Tell me how you use it, and are there any disclaimers or things that you think people should be aware of based on your experiences?
I think ChatGPT is a really good way of giving me a bit of a superpower and remembering everything that I can't get hold of in my brain there and then. Because I'm speaking to lots of different people, learning lots of different, you know, learning how they are, learning their sector, and I can't get that in my head straight away. Mm-hmm. The way I work is I listen to what they are, listen to how they talk, and then I create videos or content that then helps them to talk to their audience and get them to take action. And what ChatGPT is brilliant at is taking all that information scoops it up.
Mm.
It's then teaching me about their industry whilst I'm writing the content. So I normally get it, I normally get to give you an executive summary, for example. So I've had a conversation with somebody, want me to make a video. I then had the transcript of the conversation. I go, okay, I need to make a video about, you know, talking to landlords, for example, then talking to people who are going to look into the properties. Then I'll say, okay, give me an executive summary of everything we've talked about today. I know I need to make these two videos. And then it starts telling me the corporate language that person's used. Like, okay, so I need to use these key words. And all of a sudden, coming at it from both angles, as it were, I then get the creative that is using their language, but using my expertise in going, okay, we need to be able to make sure it connects in this way and this way.
Do you know what I found quite funny with ChatGPT? It's become, for me anyway, linked with some fads and some crazes in a good, in quite a fun way. So for example, depending on when you listen to this episode or watch it, I'm going to say it was about almost a year ago where ChatGPT was popular for making little package product version of yourselves. So you could basically put in a prompt where you were going to be like a doll in a package and you could and everyone was sharing on their socials. And it was basically, so mine was me with like a cup of coffee, a newspaper by me and a mobile phone. And I was able to put into ChatGPT a photograph of me, describe who I am and what I do, and it then came up with a packaged doll version of myself. Yeah. You know, I know I'm recently where we had the Met Gala in New York. You could go into ChatGPT and basically put in a prompt of you being at the Met Gala, brilliant, wearing an outfit and basically pretending that you were on the red carpet, although there was no red carpet this year. To me, ChatGPT has really carried that flag of being fun and how you can interact and kind of insert yourself in these different scenarios.
Yeah.
And if there's something trending on social media and you feel that actually you want to be a part of that for good use and good fun to kind of, you know, point, have a little joke with yourself. For me, that's where ChatGPT has been the leader.
Yeah. And also, actually, we use it for this episode, right? So with the graphics for this episode, because, you know, you and I are not graphic designers, and I'm certainly not, but I know what one looks like. You know, when you look at the video version, there's a version of us, cartoon versions of us walking in next to the Land and Deliver logo, all created originally in ChatGPT. Upload a picture from you from your website, upload a picture from me from my website. I always wear a green shirt. You always wear pink. And that's where we started, right?
Yeah,
so
it's true.
in our ChatGPT, there's cartoon versions of us that sits there in its own little home. And then when we do a podcast about whatever, then I just bring up that information.
Lovely.
And it creates another preview image of you and I.
So I use Microsoft Copilot quite a lot, just because all my business runs with Microsoft Teams and Outlook and all the suite of Microsoft products. So as much as I've tried all the others and I use them, my main go-to is Copilot. Now, I think industry-wide, there's been a bit of a, oh, it's not that great, is what people tend to say to me about Copilot. Oh, we're using Copilot. But I've stuck with it because but one thing I love to use it for is I've been training it on my tone of voice. I've been training, and what I can do is because all of my documents are held in the Microsoft suite, if I want to use it for a proposal, for example, I can bring in what I have as like my client notes into that space, and it will help me to write that proposal. And it makes it very easy to join up all the Microsoft bits of kit and tools into Copilot to help me use it in that sense. That's why I like Copilot. The thing I've noticed with it, and this is a note to you, dear Microsoft people, I recently ran a webinar and I wanted to create a little infographic of the 7 tips and takeaways from this webinar. And I wanted to send it to people who attended as a follow-up. So I took my presentation slides, PowerPoint, put them into Copilot and, you know, gave it all the prompts. Please do take the 7 key tips and takeaways and make it into infographic. Now, Darren, I should have had one of those kind of sand timers because it took a while and I was watching it kind of pixelate and change. And the suspense was killing me. Come on, where's this infographic? And it spat it out and gave it to me. Brilliant. Loved it. Loved the format. Loved how it was just one page of a takeaway. So a brilliant way to use it. Until I spotted spelling mistakes, really bad spelling mistakes. Now, in my line of work as a PR and communications person, I can't have that. So I then had to basically take it. First of all, I tried to get Copilot to edit it. It didn't quite like that. So I had to take it, put it into other software and change it that way. So it was brilliant in terms of the first version. And to the naked eye, I almost sent it out because I thought I could trust it. But this comes back to what we've discussed in previous episodes. You have to review. You have to check for accuracy. Because while to the naked eye it looked brilliant, when you looked at the points, there were spelling mistakes and they were really obvious ones when you looked. And I was glad I did review it. But it's a reminder to us that these tools are brilliant and they're quick. And it did what I told it to. It took the slides, it turned it into an infographic. But was the infographic accurate? It wasn't. So yes. Yeah.
And another thing I mentioned with both Copilot and ChatGPT is what people are worried about tone of voice. And what you can do if you go to episode 15 of Land and Deliver,
yes,
is our tone of voice document. It's very, very comprehensive because AI loves lots of information and disseminates it really, really well. But you fill that in so we know how you work, people you talk to, some examples of what you really like in writing, and what maybe examples of work that you've done really, really well, or examples of, you know, styles you aspire to, then you'll upload that to, can you do that in Copilot? Get uploaded to Copilot and say, with my tone of voice document, write an article on this?
Yes, you certainly can. Yeah, certainly. I mean, it'd be interesting. I'd love to compare the results, actually. And I used to do that a while ago. I used to give the same prompts and instructions to ChatGPT and then do it in Copilot. But then you start to think, actually, I'm getting down a rabbit hole here. It's taking me ages.
You've nerded me out now. It's dreadful. You're more of a nerd than I am.
That's a lot.
But yeah, go to landandliver.co.uk. And sign up for the show notes and then, you know, get that tone of voice document for episode 15. That'll really help with your tone of voice when you're trying to write something in your style. And it will save you time eventually when you fill it in, to kind of write in your tone of voice rather than keep telling it all the time.
So in a moment, we'll talk about Google Gemini, but let's talk about some software and AI tools being used in Photoshop and Canva. Yeah.
So I've got to learn Canva a bit more. And we've chatted about Canva, which we'll come to in a second. But I think the wonderful thing about Photoshop is that, and all creative tools really, is that it can save you a lot of time. So let me give you an example. For me, I think... a couple of things, really. One is actually when I was photographing your good self, delivering some educational training in Oxford, I was able to do some really clever things. So there happened to be, in not that you noticed, there happened to be people sitting in there, but there was like 2 chairs, one in front of the other, where there was no one sitting in there. So if you took it at a certain angle, it looked like you had anyone talking to you. And what you're able to do is to draw a lasso around the chair and a bit above the chair and go... Literally all the prompt was, put another delegate in this chair.
I love it.
And it obviously looked at the people around and put someone in there that was like they're the delegates.
Now, if we allude to the episode that you can go and find that's about AI transparency, what I love about this is when we were on the way to this event and Dara said, okay, brief me, you know, what kind of photos would you like? And we talked about it, but we talked about it again on the way to the event. You actually said to me you were going to do this. And I said to you, don't tell me. Now, I love the fact how transparent you are because it goes all according to our AI transparency conversations in other episodes that we've had. Now, the reason I said don't tell me is I didn't want to spot the difference. I wanted to look at these photos and not know, because when I use them in all my marketing materials, I don't want people to look at them and know that it's AI generated in that respect. So when you were transparently telling me, well, Lou, you know, if some of the seats are empty near the front or depending how I shoot it, I'm going to insert people. I said, great, but don't tell me which photos because I don't want to look at them and have bias. But equally, it just goes to show that, yeah, it's important that, yeah, it's good to be transparent, but how clever these tools are.
They are. I mean, just going back to your photo, we'll use your photos as an example to really kind of ruin your photos when you see them. Now you go, oh, that's all AI. But there's other things like that would just take you ages in. I used, for example, where you were standing, the lighting wasn't brilliant. Sometimes you would, you know, you're standing and it looks fine to the naked eye. You obviously concentrate on your audience. But there were times when you were standing in the wrong place and your face was too dark. Shaded. Or because of the way light works, your face looks orange and it looks all black behind you. Well, I found a free AI tool that, well, actually it was free for the first 1,000, but it was all right. But I loaded all your photographs and I said, please balance all the light. Essentially, that's all I did. Nice. I loaded them all and it balanced them all, brought them back down again. And that's it.
That's why they look good. Thank goodness for that AI.
But normally as a photographer, if you're doing any way processing photos, when you have what's called mixed lighting, so outside is daylight, inside is like your tungsten light bulb, you can either be orange or blue.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a real problem. Whereas the AI, so I said, just do this for me. Mm. And that gave me consistent base to work on from all the pictures. And then, for example, you know, normally your photographs would have taken me about a day and a half.
I got them the next day, I think. Yeah,
because I did that and also put extra people in seats. And also we did some lovely pictures in a conference room with this glass behind you, which looked great looking through. But there were some massive, horrible reflections. And all I did was draw a circle around the reflections. I said, please take out the reflection to show the background behind it. Mm. And it literally worked out what it would look like if the reflection wasn't there.
I think the thing and the disclaimer to add is just to make sure, obviously, that once it's been done, just check it for accuracy to make sure it hasn't, you know, made a straight line bumpy or wavy or, you know, given you an extra ear that you don't need or anything like that. Because you never know sometimes if it's softer, but it is that clever and that intuitive.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're right, because I've generated pictures. And I have said to people, I've just generated these pictures really, really quickly, literally because I wanted to show an idea. And then some smart Alex going, yes, well, this person's got three hands. It's like, yes, I know.
No, it's just an utter impression. But if I go back with this example around Canva and Photoshop and things, and I'll talk about Canva in a moment, but actually this alludes to why I chose to do a photo shoot, because a friend of mine who is an AI expert and coach, she uses a lot of images as herself, you know, kind of head and shoulder portrait photos that are AI generated. And she gave me the code so I could try it, and I tried it, but it didn't look like me. And I actually posted about it on social media recently and said, this is why I chose, and came to you and said, Darren, I'd like to do a photo shoot. Now, you know, do I want to stand and pose in front of the camera all day long? I don't, but I wanted real. And I think what we're talking about here today is when you use your AI tools, if they are kind of visual ones, it's getting that mix of reality and how, like you say, you can remove a background, shadows, you can get rid of a reflection. That's absolutely fine because you would have done that regardless. It's just AI's made it a lot quicker. But I think starting out with a real person to start with.
I think so. I think it's taking the view, isn't it? In the you either say to yourself, I'm going to have real photos, it's really me. But I think if you're going to have an AI version or get AI to take your pictures, there are ways in which it can look exactly like you. But AI is there, and there are safeguards in certain AI tools that actively prevent that because of copyright issues. So that's a safeguard in there. But also, you know, you and I, well, I did, and I obviously got your permission, took our pictures and created cartoon character versions of ourselves because, one, it looks quite fun, but secondly, from a process point of view, I didn't want to say to you when I'm creating captions or creating artwork for our podcasts, I've got a cartoon version of Louise now, and through being trustful and being open, you know that I've got a cartoon version of you that has I've got to show you this. I actually got what they call turnarounds, so there's actually a version of you now.
I've heard of that.
So it's about consistency, because AI is not consistent because of the way it works. So now going forward, the version of you will be consistent because I've got the turnarounds version.
Can I be taller? That'd be nice.
Oh, Louise, you're fine. Actually, you already are taller.
There you go.
But the idea is that I've got the cartoon version of you because I can't keep doing the photography.
Yeah.
So you make a conscious decision of rather trying to kind of get across the uncanny valley with AI, which doesn't quite get there, embrace the AI, and in our case, we've done a cartoon version of ourselves, or do a version that is obviously you not trying to do the exact version. So maybe you might do a version that's a hand drawing, or a version of you that's a painting.
So
rather than using AI to exactly replicate you, just embrace it and perhaps get creative with it and do something that's obviously AI, but then it shows your creative spirit.
I like that. Before we were recording today, this morning, Darren was asking me about Canva and using that more. And what I think one of the things that I really enjoy about using Canva is it gives me a different perspective. So recently I wanted to create a one-page document with some guidance on it. And I just took the text that I'd written, put it into the prompt and gave Canva instructions of what I wanted it to look like. And it gave me a perspective in terms of the layout and format that I wouldn't have thought of. It kind of took one of its existing templates and turned it into the one pager. Now, when I looked closely at the detail, the order of the text was a bit higgledy-piggledy. So I had to sort that out and change the colours. But it certainly saved me time. And I think Canva, some of their iterations aren't the strongest, but they're certainly building it and enhancing it more. So a month or 2 months ago, I don't think it could have helped me to create that one page. And now it is, and it needs some tweaking. And I'm looking forward to when it doesn't need as much tweaking, the instructions that it's given are really, really good. So yeah.
That's the thing to also say as well, is that I'm starting to lean into Canva because there's certain things I want to do with regards to brand. Because, companies are always brand conscious. And when you're designing something for companies, you want to be on their brand. And Canva seems to be able to help to do that, or is on the way to do that. Mm. But also, I think it's good, when we're talking about these specific ones, just as a slight tangent, is also just be really curious about other AI apps as well. So I'm across quite a lot of AI apps at the moment from a creative perspective, from music to making my video production better. And sometimes you'll find, it's not quite there yet, but if you dip in and out and practice every now and again, I always think I'm trying now to put a time aside for AI mastery, whether it's 5 minutes a day to try something and just put in a quick prompt, see what it does, or half an hour to learn a new skill. I think that's something that you need to do because AI apps are developing really, really quickly. Now, what is it that you want to do in your line of work that makes your life easier? Literally blue sky, and there's an app for it. And then just keep dipping in and out of it.
Lovely. Well, the final one we'll just briefly touch on is Google Gemini. And much like what I alluded to with Microsoft, once you're in that suite, in that world, it kind of wants to keep you there. So Google Gemini is very much wanting you to use it so it can talk to your Gmail and obviously talk to Google, which feeds it, and Google Documents and Slides and all the other kind of options that you have within Google. So Google Gemini was probably, if I'm honest, I adopted that one quicker than I did ChatGPT in the beginning. That was the one that I went to and used more. And, you're feeding the machine, as we've talked about before. But the lovely thing with Google Gemini that I really enjoy using is it does give you the opportunity to cross promote and work with your other suite of tools. So as a business owner, rather than you having to click into Docs separately, if you're within Google Gemini and you've created, you know, your newsletter text, for example, it will give you the option to upload it straight into Google Documents. Or if you're writing slides for a presentation, it will give you the option to directly put it into a slide document. So it saves you that time and it's seamlessly talking to each other as well. But do check and make sure it's accurate.
Brilliant stuff. So those are kind of some of the apps that we recommend that you use that are AI powered, but literally there are loads of them out there. And it's the great thing about AI is it's not code. It's just talking in words. It's as you would talk to a human being. So you train it like a human being. And when you use it, you're using it as if it's a real thing, you know, but it's just using the English language. And it's really kind of a, you know, good to lean into those kind of
brilliant
things.
So thank you for watching and listening today. Do go to the website landanddeliver.co.uk so that you can catch up with other episodes in this AI series and also keep up to date and grab our show notes as well.
Great, until next time, see you again.